a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros and Mariners in Seattle this weekend. Football time in Houston once again. Training camp is back. Day three is tomorrow. I'll be out there again. And, yeah, you got all sorts of people speaking at the Republican National Convention, from Hulk Hogan to another ex-athlete. This would not motivate me much. Royce White also spoke at the Republican National Convention. I can't believe Royce White has gone from being somebody who couldn't play in any games because he was scared of flying on a plane to a shill for politics.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been like on my bingo card of guys I also want to speak for me.
Definitely not. And it's funny because of all the people to randomly be accepted by someone you think is not on your team, if you will, like Royce White had got to be up there back in 2012 fighting for mental health and protocols or whatever the hell it was, 13, 14, I forget.
Yeah.
All I know is Royce gets bent over backwards to make things good for him, and he always was complaining about things not being quite what it needed to be as far as helping his fear of flying on planes.
Yeah, that's such a weird story, and the fact that he really never played for them, like when you said they went above and beyond to make it work, did they just lie to the Rockets at Iowa State and not tell them the truth? Or did they bus everywhere at Iowa State? It's Big 12.
I think they bussed everywhere.
Because of him?
For him. Yeah,
it's
crazy. I agree. It's nuts. And, like, I get it. You're afraid of planes. Xanax and booze, buddy. Come on. Like, everyone knows that that's the way to do it. I don't do it, but I've heard a lot of people do a little Xanny before they get on a plane.
Yeah. Just take a nap.
Just take a nappy poo. Yeah,
you'll be fine.
All right. So, look, not a lot happened at Houston Texans training camp today. It was 80 degrees. C.J. Stroud has handshakes with all of his teammates.
He threw passes?
He threw some passes.
Okay.
It was very limited 7-on-7 action today. They tried to install a kickoff package, and Danielle Hunter is incredibly swole, like to the point of like my jaw was on the floor. And I may have been drooling a little bit. Sorry, I've got arm envy. I have skinny little forearms from my Irish ancestors who used to steal potatoes through, like, metal grates and such. We needed skinny arms to survive, to feed ourselves. But I feel like, since there wasn't a lot going on at training camp today, it's time for us to give you a deep, steel, blue pill.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take the deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans swarm. Okay, Peyton Manning, almost a Houston Texan back in the day.
True.
He was on the Pat McAfee show, and he had this to say about C.J. Stroud and the Texans.
Like, I think about my rookie year, Pat. Like, you know, I kind of say it's so hard as a rookie, all these interceptions. C.J. Stroud says it's not that hard. He went out and dominated as a rookie. So I think you're right. I think that division kind of goes through Houston, and obviously, you know, D'Amico, look, they have a target on their backs, right? Everybody knows who they are. They're not speaking up on anybody, but they're going to answer that challenge. But it's a great division. But, like, I'm a big fan of Stroud. I got to know him. I coached him at the Pro Bowl this year, Pat. Humble guy, hard worker, super talented, just nice to, you know, my son, nice to all the fans there. I didn't get to know him. He didn't come to our football camp, Pat. He had a team commitment that he honored, and I kind of felt bad. You know, he kind of got criticized for not coming to the camp. NFL people kind of said, hey, you were supposed to go. You didn't go. And I kind of missed that. I probably could have come out and clarified that, hey, he never committed to come. It was all good. So I actually apologized to him recently about kind of the criticism he had to face from NFL teams in his combine interviews. That was ridiculous. But big fan of him. So, yeah, look, I'm all on the Colts bandwagon. but we got to do something about these other teams in the AFC South.
Okay, so it started off with him being really complimentary of the Houston Texans, that the division goes through Houston, and then he, of course, says Peyton Manning dominated about himself.
Yes.
The answer went along, rambled all over the place. So, wow, he's a good broadcaster. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's so clean. He never did anything that would taint the game, except for, you know, the time where he had, like, the private investigators go to that person at Al Jazeera's house who he was investigating, you know, and he saw a package that was delivered to the Manning family. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. Manning also described the Texans as a bully. Hell yeah, dude. Peyton Manning is recognizing real. C.J. Stroud, greatest quarterback in AFC South history. I think Peyton Manning was about to say it.
Because he didn't throw a lot of interceptions. So, you know, he's feeling the vibes.
C.J. Stroud never lost to Florida. C.J. Stroud never lost to the Patriots in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
C.J. Stroud never lost to the Chargers in the playoffs.
C.J. Stroud has a normal-sized head.
That's also true. Now we're starting to know me.
Well, I mean, it's a fact, though.
He does have a big head.
It is a factual statement.
That's true. I do want Daniil Hunter's arms. I do not want Peyton Manning's forehead.
Yeah. Well, what if that was the trade-off? To get Daniil Hunter's arms.
Well, that's what HGH does.
He had to take Peyton's forehead.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
K.O. Twitch Houston says, Peyton hate much? Yes. Nowhere close to Tom Brady. It's ridiculous that they're even held in the same conversation. Oh, he's such a student of the game. Oh, he threw 4 interceptions in the AFC Championship game.
I do think that kind of sucks.
Remember when he scored 3 points with vaunted offense against wide receivers on defense? You can go all day.
I know you can.
I'm such a hater.
Is he your number one? Like your number one hated guy in sports? Seems like it.
There was no athlete I rooted against more than Peyton Manning as a kid. None.
Like, I don't hear
both at Tennessee and with the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, you said that's part of it because he was for both your teams.
Yeah, because Florida always beat him, and I was like, he's not that good. Florida always beats him.
Yeah, and then here he always won. But it's
I know he killed the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while for them to get that first victory at home over the Colts. You know, that kind of sucks for CJ. I mean, I guess it's nice for Peyton Manning to apologize and admit that he was, you know, should have said something. But that was a major criticism of C.J. Stroud because the media loves to gas up the Manning Academy so much. All they do is like, because they just want to be in the presence of the Mannings because they get to go and be within 5 feet of Archie, Peyton, Eli, and now Arch. And they get to talk to him. So they all gas this thing up like it's the greatest thing on earth.
They do.
So when C.J. didn't go, it was a major, major criticism of his character. And he had a reason not to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just sucks.
It's one of those things where people are scared of the Manning Mafia. I mean, the family sends private investigators to people's doors. So everyone gasses it up. You are right. That was a very weird storyline. In addition to like the S2 test, lots of things were going down before C.J. Stroud was even picked that resulted in him being slandered. Want some more? Texas Deep Steel Blue Pills. Here's Emmanuel Acho saying football gibberish about the Texans.
C.J. Stroud, he had one of the most phenomenal seasons we've ever seen by a rookie quarterback. The Texans, I believe they're legit Super Bowl contenders, and James and I are up here to try and show you why. James, I asked you just moments ago, how can you stop the Houston Texans? What'd you respond?
You can't.
Now I said, why?
Because Joe Mixon's the equalizer, and they just got too much.
They got too much. We want to show you exactly what we mean by that. Hey, go ahead and load up this. So the Texans are going to live in 11 personnel. What 11 personnel simply means is we got a tight end on the field. We got 1, 2, 3 wide receivers. We got a back right there. Mm-hmm. 11 personnel means 1 running back, 1 tight end. Yeah. That is 11 personnel. So, James, I'm a defensive player, big dog. I'm going to play you in cover 1. That's what I'm going to do. Man, he's in the hole. He's in the middle of the field. How am I tripping trying to play you in cover 1 right here?
Yeah, I think Bernie Mac said it best. If I get up, it's going to be trouble.
Man, that's from Speak. Joe's shaking his head.
I despise Emmanuel Acho.
Emmanuel Acho
like, thanks for thanks for describing 11 personnel to me.
Yeah, he knows ball, dude.
And he knows ball. Maybe next time he'll explain 12.
Yeah.
That'd be a huge help.
13.
13, 15, 20.
I think there's only – there's like 11 and there's 12.
Yeah.
And they don't use 12 that much anymore. There's a lot of people that want you to know that they know ball, and they bring up like 11 personnel, which is the three wide receivers, one running back, one tight end.
A lot of times too. You know, if you're watching this content for like, bless your heart, if you love football that much, you don't need to explain it every time. The Texans' offense is not going to be unstoppable. That's where, like, they're setting too high of bar of expectations for what this team is going to be. It is unrealistic that they are just going to walk up and down the field and do whatever they want against any defense in the NFL. Like, Stephon Diggs might be cooked. I don't think so, but it's a possibility. Nico Collins could be a one-hit wonder. Tank Dell could get hurt. C.J. Stroud will just not be as good as last year because last year was so awesome. I think the Texans are going to win the division, but the idea that they're just going to be this unstoppable offense is just such lazy analysis from guys that try to pretend like they know what they're talking about.
How would you stop them?
I don't know.
See, they're right.
But I don't pretend to know. They pretend to know. I don't know how you pretend to be like, we're going to show you how to stop the Texans, and the answer is, I don't know. That's not what I'm here for.
I think a lot of these players want everyone to know how much they know about the sport. And no doubt, you got to do it in an entertaining manner that actually is one that people can understand what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. All right. Deep Steel Blue Pills. Also, Danielle Hunter, not the only guy for the Houston Texans that's yoked. Here's Will Anderson talking about how much bigger he is in 2024.
Yeah, I think last year I was like 248, and about the time we got to like the Ravens game, I was just like, I just can't last. Like, I feel like I was getting tossed around, so I kind of bulked up a little this offseason, tried to keep my speed. Well, I did keep my speed, so I'm like 263 now. I feel good. Some people still say I don't even look big, so I appreciate you for that.
Hell yeah.
He doesn't want to look big. He's the opposite of you, Paul.
Yeah?
He doesn't want vascular arms or whatever it is you keep saying.
He clearly has a lot more bulk, but, I mean, that was the big thing about Will Anderson when he got drafted that I was thinking to myself, I was like, hey, he's really good, but he's not the biggest guy. So putting on that mass, hopefully he's as explosive off the ball as he was last season.
Yeah.
That's a key part of it, too, is getting that first step. But, I mean, he says it's there.
We'll see.
Everyone's talking about the Texans' receiver core. The pass rushing is what I'm really interested in terms of, like, how do you stop that? Because they really do have waves of guys to send at you. It's not just the guys that they have at the top of the list. It's that they can send 5-6 guys after you over the course of the game, and all of them, you would think, are at least plus in terms of pass rush ability.
Yeah, I mean, if the Texans offense does its job and gets you a 10-point lead early in a game, and then Will Anderson and Hunter and Autry and all these guys can just pin their ears back and go get the quarterback, they're going to be unstoppable. That's what the Eagles did 2 years ago. They had 72 sacks, and it's because their offense just kept getting up early, and so the other teams had to stop running the ball. So you knew they were always going to throw it. If the Texans' offense can give the Texans' defense that much of a cushion, they're gonna crush quarterbacks. Like, I am more excited about the pass rushers than I am the wide receivers. I'm with you.
Will the Houston Texans commit a murder upon a quarterback this year? 713-780-3776 to
maybe
call in.
Joe Flacco, if he plays. He's pretty old. I mean, he's pretty old.
I mean, it's a shame that, I mean, well, hang on. We don't want that to happen. Especially, I don't, listen.
I like Joe Flacco.
You know what's funny? There's a table of police officers near us. And I'm like, listen, I'm not wishing a murder upon anybody, okay? I'm just speaking in terms of metaphorical.
But if you had to pick one.
You had to pick one. We're not going any further. All right.
Sean Watson.
They don't
play him this year. I misspoke.
Whoa. Yeah, I like how B-Mac cut the music there. Now they're all looking at us. One's pulling the handcuffs out. Hey, will we have a show at the end of this commercial break? That's a great question. But if we do come back, Chandler Rome's got three stories to watch for the Houston Astros. Did he miss anything as they begin their second half of the year against the Seattle Mariners tonight in Seattle? Galan and George at East River 9. Stick around.
Want to tell you about my friends again at O Athletic. If you've been looking for a way to get in shape in 2024 and you're a little bit lost, that's how I felt when I started going back to the gym. I pretty much stopped going after college. I was done with it. I was done with the idea of organized workouts. I did what the coaches, whether it was in high school or college rugby, told me they wanted me to do, and that was it. But when I was done with that, I didn't want to go anymore. And I got tired of it. I got tired of trying to do the same old lifts that I learned in high school and college. So when I went back to the gym, went back to OA Athletic, working with a personal trainer has been awesome. Because he helped me, Cam, my trainer. He's helped teach me what I need to do to get back into shape, to lift the right way, to lift the way that, look, I'm only 32, but, you know, we're getting up there slowly. The best way for me to lift and stay in shape and get healthy. It's been an awesome experience. I can't recommend it enough. Check him out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. And when you go in, you'll sign up. There'll be a little tablet there. Click on the radio icon and tell him Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Joe George, Paul Gallant. Rock the Mic's back. It's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic's going to get a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have one or you've always wanted to start one, now is your chance. You just got to send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic at 975@gmail.com. Again, rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. Chandler Rome might be the greatest scribe in the history of Houston sports. Many people are saying that. I like Chandler. I feel like Astros fans are a little bit too sensitive with any article that he writes. I truly don't understand it. I don't get it with Evan Drellick either. Whatever. Hey, he's got three questions in a piece for The Athletic about storylines for the Houston Astros. Question one, something we touched on a little bit earlier, Joe. Can Houston meet the price for starting pitchers at the trade deadline? It's a good question because their farm system is relatively barren. And since you've seen so much Joey Loperfido recently, he doesn't really feel like a part of the farm system anymore.
No, he doesn't. He's up here. And we discussed it a little bit yesterday. Like, would you want to trade Loperfido? I do lean no. I'm so much more intrigued by him now than when he was in Sugarland because he's been a pretty productive player. He's made some spectacular plays on defense, and the bats look pretty good. So I would lean no to trading Joey Loperfido. And then it really goes into, you know, if you're Dana Brown, you just got control of this team, do you want to trade Bryce Matthews? Do you want to trade Jake Bloss, who we'll see again here? I would imagine.
Does Jake Bloss get you anything?
I mean, because he rises through the majors so fast, he's not the main piece, but he's part of it. Like that's where the you might have to do three or four prospects for what other teams might be one guy.
I think the tricky thing is, though, with Bloss, like, they're so injured in the starting rotation, they almost need to keep Jake Bloss or any pitcher on the 40-man rotation that's a starter. Like, they can't really give up anybody. And I would assume in the minors it's the same thing. I mean, like, for God's sakes, like, Spencer Arrighetti has pitched way more than anyone thought he would this season.
Yeah, there's the what's his name? Blue Ba.
Number 69 yes. In your programs with the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Yeah, he just pitched in the Futures game.
Number one in your heart.
So he's a guy that people can be looking after, too. For a big name like Garrett Crochet, I'm going to say no.
I don't know. I think Blue Ball is a cool name. Number 69. The White Sox should be open to it.
It's how you trade Seth Beer, probably. Just cool last name. Beer.
Is Seth Beer doing anything?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
If a team called you, Paul, and said, hey, we know that this pitcher is not going to pitch next year in 2025, but we like the idea of having Christian Javier on our roster in 2026 and 2027.
Ooh.
Would you trade Christian Javier?
That is a great question. I like Christian Javier a lot, but I am now concerned with anybody that has dealt with an elbow issue.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's going to be the same guy coming back. I'm even wondering about whether or not that contract is still awesome. Because remember when the contract got signed, we were like, damn, the Astros are robbing from all these players that are not American-born, whether it's Yordan Alvarez or Christian Javier.
Yeah, it looks like a bad contract now in a lot of ways because this year he's making $7.5 million. Next year he'll make $10.5 to not play. And then he'll make $21.4 million in 2026.
So the bargain part of the contract is done.
They're going to miss it. Yeah, they're going to miss the rest of the bargain and just get him when he's pricey, which is probably why he's not tradable. But I was just curious, like if a team said, hey, we'll take Javier down the road, we'll worry about him. Seth Beer in 2022 hit 189 with the Diamondbacks. He has no other professional stats. So apparently he's on the Pirates now.
Yarr.
I didn't even know that.
Well, let's go back to some of the other questions that Chandler Rome has for the Houston Astros in the second half. Storylines that they're going to need to figure out the answer to. Will Kyle Tucker, number two, return with the same efficacy?
I would,
big words, bro.
I would bet on yes. For sure.
You would?
Yeah, I would bet on yes for Kyle Tucker.
Whoa, why?
He's one of the best players on this team. It's Altuve and Tucker.
They're winning and they're winning without him.
Yeah. Alvarez is the best hitter.
So clearly he was hurting the team.
Yeah, I know. but I would bet on Kyle Tucker being not like the day he comes back, but by the end of the season to be back to where he was, an MVP-level player. I think Kyle Tucker has a reasonable shot to win an MVP in his career, whether it's here or somewhere else. He can be that level of a player, you know, especially now with the stolen bases and everything that he can get. I'm a big Tucker guy, so I firmly believe that he can be who he was before at some point again this season.
He's a big five-tool guy, for real, 100 on God, no cap.
Yes.
Son.
Yes.
Y'all mean.
We know what you mean, Paul.
He's missed 36 games in a row.
I still don't understand. And I really don't understand when he's going to pitch play again this year.
Isn't it a shin contusion?
Deep bruise. The deepest of deep bruises.
I mean, it's a quarter of the year. And also, he has to have a rehab assignment. So, I mean, he's not going to be back in 7 days.
No.
I have no idea when he's going to be back.
At best, August 1st.
So, I mean, he has to start the minor league rehab assignment within the next week, it sounds like.
If
that's going to happen.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
And yet, they've scored 5.4 runs a game and averaged 9.3 hits a game with him gone.
I mean, maybe Kyle Tucker is just, you maybe you're right, Paul. Should they trade Kyle Tucker at the deadline for Garrett Crochet?
You're so obsessed with Garrett
Crochet. Oh, what's wrong? You're being sarcastic, Joel.
You're so obsessed with Garrett Crochet.
He's the best guy on the market.
No, he's a White Sox fan.
He makes $850,000. He's a cheap baseball player. Mm-hmm. Or Tarek Skubal. I did want to trade Fromber. Not do.
You did, or you do?
Well, it would be I still do if they were healthy, but now they're such a disaster with the rotation, I would never consider it.
Oh, man.
He's still unhinged. I would trade him this offseason. No question about it. I'm not going to back down from that take. They can't right now because of how many guys are hurt.
Can't back down from your take if Skip Bayless is coming for your job.
Yeah,
bro.
Skip Bayless is on the way. I mean, I gotta stand strong. I gotta start talking about Tim Tebow.
Yeah, we'll pay Skip Bayless in the mid five figures.
Yeah,
hell yeah, dude. One last question from Chandler Rome. Second half storylines for the Houston Astros in his athletic piece. How will first base evolve? Pitching, writes Chandler, is Houston's biggest priority at the trade deadline. But if they want to add a bat, you would think it would be at first base. I know Pete Alonso has been brought up. Tampa Bay Rays all-star Isaac Paredes has been brought up. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Josh Bell, Yandy Diaz. Singleton's been hitting since Abreu left. This stuns me. 301.
Mm-hmm. I think their answer is on the roster. I don't think they do it.
Damn, son.
I think they just stick with Singleton and Dubon. And Caratini can play first if they wanted to.
So can Joey the Rope, Lobrefito, though. He's going to be playing a lot in the outfield.
No first base for Joey.
Why not?
He's too sick in the outfield. I don't need him at first.
I think Joey, he could play him at multiple positions.
Every day?
Put him at right field and first base. He's athletic.
Cover both.
He could cover the whole field.
Figure it out.
Yeah, man.
We'll make it work.
You can have somebody stand like right next to the pitcher. Or you could have someone stand right next to the batter. Is that allowed? Can you have an infielder that's like just like standing in the first baseline?
No. I don't know what the new shift rules
are. I am curious, like, how far in could you shift? Like, it would be really stupid to do it, but, like...
You might die.
Is that the reason? I really want to see some, like, just complete idiot manager, like, test the limits of shifts and, like, just have someone standing within, like, arm's reach of the batter.
That's what I need you. I need you to go home, get MLB The Show, and just, like, pick your least favorite third baseman in baseball. And when there's a righty up to the plate, just see how close you can get without getting hit in the dome.
Is there a rule that you can't have two people that are wearing catcher's gear on the diamond at the same time?
That I think there is.
Okay.
I'm sure there's somewhere that says you can't do that.
It would be really funny if you just like you brought the infield in, and by infield in, you just have all of your infielders wearing like catching equipment, and there's just a small little window for the pitcher to throw through. And those guys could theoretically, like, while he swings the bat, like, try to block it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying new ideas out for baseball.
New ideas.
I know ball, okay?
You know ball.
You seem sarcastic when you're saying that I know ball. Well, I know it.
Yeah.
Joel doesn't understand these complex ideas that I'm bringing to the table. How about have a whole infielder of catchers? Yeah, that's right. And you try to block the shots from the hitters when they swing the bat. Yeah. Joel's like, wow, that was profound. And it is. And that's why I'm one of the most preeminent baseball minds in Texas. Yeah, baby, we're at East River 9. I haven't had anything to drink. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text in. Any questions missing? I think really the question that's missing is, who are they going to get? Meeting the price... I'm sure they'll find a way because it always feels like at the trade deadline some team ends up moving on from a player and they get essentially, for lack of a better term, trade bleeped, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some team that's going to give you the kind of deal that you got Justin Verlander for. There's got to be some, like, because that deal was ridiculous the first time that the Astros traded for Verlander.
Yes, but they were still highly regarded prospects at the time. So, while it's worked out in your favor so well,
Were they highly regarded? It was so long ago. I don't know who they even were.
No, and there's one guy who's still on the Tigers who was in that deal. I can't remember his name. I mean, they weren't like the best prospects in baseball, but they're probably better than what you have right now. You have one top 100 guy in the big, so I think, and that's it. Or in the minors right now, so. I just don't know. There's not a lot of those guys out there. I would be shocked if you see a big-name starting pitcher traded at the deadline. I mean, Tarik Skubal is probably the best guy. He's AL Cy Young favorite from the Tigers. It just, to me, seems like that would be a disaster decision. For me, my biggest question that's not on there from Chandler's piece is, what are you doing with Chaz? Like, at what point does Loperfido and Myers and Dubon become your main rotation, and Chaz just kind of falls out of it?
It should be
for
now.
The rest of the season. I agree.
I mean, he had a great year last year, but he has shown no signs that that's coming back again. And lots of players across this league have had one awesome season, and then they go back. Like Rafael Montero.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a tough league, obviously. Consistency year to year is not guaranteed, except for from some players, like the guys who are truly at the top of the sport. I think we're at the point now where we know McCormick's not going to be that guy again this year, where Jake Myers, this might be the year, you know?
Yes.
So you continue to ride, I think, with the hot bat. And, yeah, I guess McCormick is depth.
Yeah, maybe he's playing. He's going back to the dusty ways where he's just playing against lefties.
Yep.
Where he's at his best. And that just might be what he is. But I'm with you. I'm ready for that to be the McCormick era of 2024. At this point, I don't need to see them trying to change all this stuff. I'm good with Loperfido in left field almost every single day. If you really want to have, you know, Caratini as an example, or Salazar catch because Fromber can't have Yiner, then yeah, you know, Yiner's your DH and Yordan's in left. But for the most part, I think your outfield should be set. And you don't really need to make many changes to it.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We are at East River 9. Killer Bees are up next. We'll be here until 6 o'clock here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, you want to weigh in on the Astros and Mariners series? You can. You can also talk with us about Houston Texans training camp. And there is a possibility of one of my favorite TV shows being made into a movie. What TV shows need their own movie? We will discuss that as well next. So Friday, got to get down on Friday at East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. As soon as you enter that code, you're going to get an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000. And you can bet with that money right away. You can bet on a little blackjack, a little poker, live dealers that you have there. You can see them, but they can't see you. You don't even have to wear pants. But you can also gamble on the Open. Oh, I've got some crimpets and spotted dick. Hey, I love it watching the soccer and all sorts of sports like golf up there on the, you know, over across the pond. You can bet on that. You can bet on the Astros game tonight. Hell, you can bet on who the next president of the United States is. Incredibly, Joe Biden is third right now by a wide margin. Get that. Kamala Harris is actually better odds to be the next president than Biden on mybookie.ag. Yeah, you can bet on the presidency there. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag with that promo code BET975. Sign up, play, and win today.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9 with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So, with Astros and Mariners on deck this weekend, we're both hoping that the Astros do what is necessary. Take two or three. That's what Joe wants. I want a sweep. Take command of the American League West. And you should be able to do it mainly from this perspective. Mariners offense blows.
Yep.
It's terrible. I don't know why it has been like this year, but it is, like, we're talking like bottom three in just about every single major statistical category. And even though Julio Rodriguez has been hitting better of late, this is a team that Hunter Brown should do well against, that Ronel Blanco should do well against, and I believe Framber Valdez is starting on Saturday.
Yes.
So you should be able, at the very least, to be in a spot where it's only going to take four or five runs to win. The real question is, are you going to be able to score against Mariners pitching? And that's just been a really tough thing for the Astros for now going on two seasons.
I mean, and honestly, it wouldn't shock me if in two of these games it takes three runs to win it, because their pitching is good and their offense is terrible. And it's almost the opposite. It's just, you know, how quickly can you get back into the groove is the question. It's nice that for the Astros, for their bullpen arm specifically, obviously we saw in that last game versus the Rangers, they were, you know, they didn't throw out their big guns because they wanted to make sure guys were rested, extra rested going into the All-Star break. So hopefully, you know, coming out of the break now, guys like Brian Abreu, who have pitched so much this year, are feeling good, are ready to go, and you can take advantage of using them this weekend because you got a bad series after that, and then you play the Dodgers. So this is a great way to start the second half of the season because you can just take you can control your destiny.
Hell yeah!
You put yourself in front in first place, and then at least for the time being, you're in charge of how the season goes.
I want, now that these teams too have a game separating them, I want a game to involve a brawl. In fact, not only do I want to sweep, I want to fight in every single game. And by baseball fight, I mean, you know, everyone comes out of the dugout and out of the bullpen and grapple with one another, but nothing actually happens. But I want the bad blood that's been in this series in the past to come back. We saw it last year. We have not seen it this year yet.
Paul, if the Astros are at such bad luck, I want to agree with you.
What, do you think someone's going to get hurt?
Yes.
You think Lance McCullers is going to bust his elbow?
No, I'm more worried about when, like, Montero hits someone on purpose, which is the only guy who should throw the pitch because he sucks. So if he got suspended for 100 games, who cares? That's what they should do. Montero, you're going to throw at someone every single batter until you get suspended for the rest of the season.
Well, I think the Astros have to take the high road because the Mariners are the ones that started. Remember, what was his face? Caballeros?
Oh, yeah.
The guy who was just an insufferable, you know what, at the plate every single time he came up, calling timeouts at the last second, just being obnoxious. He was the guy that started the last Donnybrook between these teams.
I just don't want them to throw at Yordan or Altuve.
Ooh, yeah. See, that's what I mean.
That's the problem.
You have to – you are – we are not Cobra Kai, though I want a battle to happen. You are Miyagi School of Karate.
Mm.
Wax on, wax off. You have to react. You are defending yourself. You are standing your ground. But I do – there is a part of me, just the person that enjoys a little drama, especially since it is still July baseball. I'd like to see the bad blood actually boil over because it hasn't in a while.
You know what would be nice for it to happen? You win the first two games. You got a big lead in the third game.
Ooh.
And that's when the Donnybrook happens.
They have their own Framber Valdez kind of meltdown with the whoever the hell they're throwing on the hill.
Because then it's like you swept the series, and then you let it go.
The guy who's pitching on Sunday for Seattle I've never heard of, so I'm assuming that that guy is not one of their primary arms in the rotation. So there you go. I'm really excited about this, Joe. Have you watched the television show 24?
Yes.
I literally just rewatched season one of 24 during my 9-day time without internet because all I had to do was watch TV on DVD. And I watched all of season one of 24 on DVD. Nina Myers, spoiler alert, she's the bad gal.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Bauer, one of the worst characters ever, constantly a buzzkill. Jack Bauer's daughter, worst day ever. Honestly, she probably had a worse day than her father. It's a great TV show. And apparently, a film adaptation of the series is in early development at 20th
Ooh.
Century Studios.
Interesting.
It better have Kiefer Sutherland in it. The last iteration of 24 featured, I believe, one of the guys from the NWA movie. I forget his name. He was like the new version of Jack Bauer. I forget his name, and I also forget the show because it wasn't very well received, and it was just like a one-series thing. I don't know, though, if – is it going to work without the clock?
It's hard to say. A lot of these –
you got to have a clock in the movie, and if it's not 24 hours, I don't know. I need like at least 17 ridiculous twists over the course of a 24-hour series.
But that's why I think you probably don't see Kiefer Sutherland as the main character in the movie.
He seems like he's out on Kiefer, on just being Jack Bauer going forward, which bums me out.
A lot of times it's interesting because we're seeing mostly the opposite of this. You're seeing movies then become longer-form TV shows. You saw it with Limitless.
Yeah.
Shooter.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they made a Shooter TV show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I watched the Limitless TV show. It was okay. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean, you like network TV.
I do like network TV.
You watch every single one of the Chicagos.
I do, unapologetically.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Yeah. I mean, even Joel's laughing at you.
Grey's Anatomy. He said they're good shows. He didn't laugh at
you
me.
You like the Chicago
yeah,
shows?
Yeah, let's go. I need someone on my side here.
Yeah,
for once.
I can't. Anyone? Well, I'm sorry. Network TV. Like, this is where I will be snobbish. I turn my nose up at network TV.
Whatever, Paul.
Unless it's 24.
What? You want to know what?
2001.
TV show that needs to become a movie.
Yeah.
There's one answer to this, and one answer only.
Hit me.
When this old man who writes the slowest books ever, George R.R. Martin, finally finishes Game of Thrones, to correct the ending of the show, make a Game of Thrones movie.
Damage has been done, bro.
And just fix it.
They're all going to be old.
I don't care. Arya goes from like a toddler to an adult in the series. Mm-hmm. You can bring back the gang and fix the ending of Game of Thrones with a 3-hour movie, problem solved, bigger budget, box office hit. That's what we need.
If you know what, if there's a scene where they just roll Bran down a flight of stairs in King's Landing, the one that Cersei walks down, yeah, I want that because F Bran. I would say The Sopranos, and then they did a movie and it sucked.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
Their big problem was like you lose James Gandolfini. Like, what can you really do? You know, you're kind of screwed before you even begin. You have to have like the main actor from the show, and that's why this 24 show. Like, it doesn't really seem like it's definitive that they will be able to get Kiefer Sutherland to play Jack Bauer again.
The Sopranos wasn't that good because I mean I get what they tried to do to show you know the beginning of everything. It didn't do it for me. It was a fine watch, but it's not a movie that I saw and was like, I need to watch that again.
Breaking Bad had a movie. It actually was pretty good.
Awesome.
I could do a Better Call Saul movie.
Agreed.
But at the same time, they wrapped up that show pretty tightly as well. I'm thinking. More on the other side. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We're at East River 9. Oh, my God, that sandwich looks so good. The Nashville Hot Bird sandwich that they have here is so damn good. We wrap things up next here from East River 9, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
All right, O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. That's where you find them. You want to take a class. You want to work out with a personal trainer. Whatever you want to do, they've got it for you there. You want to do the endless pool, the sauna, the steam room for your recovery. Those are there for you as well. So you can pretty much just do whatever you want. Like, it's a great gym. They've got beach volleyball outside. They got leagues going on in the summer. There's plenty of different ways to get a workout in. That's why I like it. That's why it's the gym for you, is you're not locked into doing the same thing on a day-in and day-out basis. It's also you don't have, like, the sound requirements that certain other gyms have. It's a great experience. I really can't recommend it enough. Even my favorite thing at the end of the workout, you got the full-on protein bar there, so you want to get a shake, you want to get a coffee on your way out, on your way to work, you can do that as well. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9.
Astros and Mariners this weekend in Seattle. Texans training camp back underway. Another rather slow day. I was out there earlier this morning. They have had the best weather possible for the first 2 days.
Are they going to be battle-tested enough for the start of the season? 713-780-3776.
We were talking about TV shows that could be turned into movies.
You're a Star Wars nerd, right? A little bit?
I've gotten to the point now where I think, Joe, I'm done with Star Wars.
Okay. Did you like The Mandalorian?
The first season.
Okay. Because that's becoming a movie.
Yeah.
In like 2026, I think. So that's one that's happening.
I'm shrugging at it. I think that I am just like everybody else in the Star Wars fan club where we're toxic fans.
Toxic.
I mean, nothing is ever going to be good enough. I'm kind of falling guilty of that in The House of the Dragon. Like, I'm like, oh, it's not quite Game of Thrones. And I mean, you know, it's not Game of Thrones. I suppose I should be looking at it from that perspective.
What about Succession? How'd you feel about
Succession?
Can't
do that. They tied it up. Neatly.
You think they did?
Yes. Those people, those three demon spawn were never going to do Bleed.
I think it's still kind of open-ended.
Oh, no. Nope. I think they tied that one up neatly.
Okay.
Mad Men might be interesting because Mad Men ends with Dom Draper inventing the
Coca-Cola.
I'd like to buy the world of Coke commercial. So he's getting right back on his BS 100%. I mean, his daughter, the actress who plays his daughter, is like still acting, pretty good actress. So they could theoretically still do this show.
I don't know if I want a movie, though, or just I want more of the TV show. Like, I think I need more. I would love more Mad Men. I love that show.
I liked it. I don't know if I loved it, but I did like it.
I really liked it. The first time I watched it, I guess, you know what, I liked it a lot better the second time. Because it is a little slow of a start. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a better show the second time you rewatch it and you have a little bit of better understanding of the characters and everything. As it already begins, because I really enjoyed my second rewatch of it. I was thinking about the Better Call Saul one. That is a really challenging one to rewrite. You know, the Breaking Bad stuff, do you think they could do another movie?
They could definitely do another movie, maybe one that's based on Mike Ehrmantraut or something like that,
yeah.
Or on the rise of Pollos Romanos.
There's always the theory that Walter White lived.
He didn't. He's dead.
I would hate that if
yeah,
they
he's
did
dead.
That.
He's
that
dead.
Would bum me out if they tried to make that.
No, I mean, it could be a show about Grey Matter and turn it into like a Succession kind of show. I mean, that universe, because it's Vince Gilligan, I would trust a expanded universe in that place more than anything. But I wonder if Gilligan's bored of it because he's, you know, put together, what, I think 6 seasons of Better Call Saul, 5 seasons of Breaking Bad. So there you go. All right, guys, it's 2:51, you know. Time for a little garbage time before we hit the road.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
A couple of Twitch comments. A Stranger Things movie. Still not quite wrapped up.
Just finish the show first.
It's close to being done.
They released teaser photos. I kind of agree, but that also show feels like that's going to end very cleanly. So I would say probably not.
Desert Stroll on YouTube says there's a Monk movie. Did not know that. I love Monk. Monk is on Netflix now. All right. So in garbage time, away we go. Did you see this divorce announcement coming out of Dubai?
Yeah.
Some people have gotten so into social media that they are now declaring divorces on Instagram. The Dubai princess, Sheikha Mara, put this on her Instagram profile. Dear husband, as you are occupied with other companions, I hereby declare our divorce. I divorce you, comma. I divorce you, comma. And I divorce you, period.
Woo!
With a capital D in the divorce and a capital U in the capital Y in the U. Take care, your ex-wife. I have a question.
Yes.
And it might come across as xenophobic.
Okay. What's your question?
Are women allowed to do that in Dubai?
I think so, yes.
All right, just asking the question.
I'd say yes.
I honestly, I don't know.
It's more modern.
But hey, apparently.
I mean, look, he's cheating on his wife.
In some Muslim countries.
Yes.
A man instantly divorces his wife by declaring it 3 times. So she might be trying to do the exact same
thing. Does it work on social media? I feel like those things are said, you know, verbally.
It might.
Yeah.
It does with Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
It does with Bloody Mary.
Beetlejuice 2 coming out soon. Don't know how I feel about it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Michael Keaton's back.
Winona's back.
Yep.
Did they bring Jennifer Ortega into that one, too?
Yes. She's the main character.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm Jennifer Ortega. I'm quirky. Continuing to go through garbage time, did you see the news in the Major League Soccer world? Oh, my goodness. This is incredible. Kevin Sullivan is the youngest ever player to debut in an American sport. 14 years, 293 days. They let a 14-year-old play? First off, this is violating child labor laws.
Clearly not.
You have to be 15, if I'm not mistaken, to work in the United States of America.
No, not your parents and sign a waiver form.
No, I think you have to be 15 for them to even sign the waiver form.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's 293 days. So, he already played.
He already played.
So.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Union, ironically, a Philadelphia Union is violating labor laws.
My favorite part of the story is that he's already been sold to Manchester City. That the day he turns 18, Manchester City will pay the Philadelphia Union up to $5 million. So if he sucks, they probably give him a buck. If he's awesome, they'll give him like $5 million. Already agreed upon. Soccer's bizarre. That's so weird.
I don't understand how you can ever take Major League Soccer seriously if they're playing a 14-year-old. Even if it's the last 9 minutes of a game or whatever it was. Like,
there's a 14-year-old out there?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, how do I take this league seriously? There's children playing.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a brief period of time.
I very much agree. There's the youngest NFL player is a Houston Texan.
Was it Amobi Okoye?
Yes.
But he was at least 20.
Yeah, yeah, but he's the youngest player to ever
imagine
play in the
NFL. 14-year-old playing in the NFL. I mean, the thought of it is like just trying to hold up against massive offensive linemen. I mean, there was that kid that declared to Alabama who was like an eighth grader, right? And I think he looked like an absolute truck.
Well, was he a fifth grader committed to USC back in the day to Lincoln? Not to Lincoln.
Yeah,
to
I think
Lane
you're right.
Kiffin.
I think
he's a
right.
D1 player. Actually, he ended up playing wide receiver at West Virginia.
He actually made it?
Yeah, just not as a quarterback.
Ah,
but gotcha. He ended up in college football still.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's, you know what?
Learn something new every day.
You do learn something
Normally,
new.
You're teaching me things that I don't want to know.
Yeah, it's usually like things that like make you feel sad and like things are going downhill in our country. You know what's not going downhill? I'm sorry, but this needs to be repeated. Sam Pittman, head coach of Arkansas, has a new slogan. It's not quite Texan Swarm. It's called Embrace the Hog.
Embrace the Hog.
I think that's a word that...
Should we get a t-shirt?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I think they're doing that already.
Should we order some?
They already went on sale. I like Embracing Hog. Everyone says that all the time. Why are you laughing?
No reason.
Pigs are cute. They're really sweet animals.
Only if you get like the teacup pigs.
You're not going to hug a just big old pig?
Hard pass.
Okay. Well, on that note, this has just been one of the most incredible shows of all time. We thank everybody here at East River 9 for hosting us. Big thanks to our texters, our tweeters, our twitchers, and our YouTubers. He is Joe George. For Brian McDonald back at Mission Control, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.